Anna Garner. Anna, are you with us already, or have you lost faith in our ability to coordinate things?
You know what? That was so fascinating. I am so glad that I got to listen to her. She's brilliant and she was amazing. She's a very hard act for me to follow, though.
Wow. Yeah. Well, most people don't know that you're not just a lawyer, but you're also a biologist, right?
Right. I majored in biology pre-med, and then I went a year towards my genetics.
So this it can't have been boring then.
Oh, it was fascinating. I'm glad I could listen to it. Fascinating.
Great. So, yeah. And now for something completely different, as they used to say. but not really different, because you can tell us about a parallel, not bar association, because you don't want to call it that. What is it?
We're not sure what the name is yet. I'm thinking about citizens' courts, citizens' council, spiritual, ecclesiastical council. We're not quite sure, but I'll tell you the premise, and maybe with our putting our heads together, we can come up with a good name. But I have the concept down and how it will be formed. It will be formed alongside the existing judicial systems. As we know, a lot of our systems are breaking down, whether they're our political systems, medical systems, religious systems, as well as financial and judicial. So I've always had this sense that I came in to create a new system, a higher system, something based on higher principles. And when I went into law, at a very early age, I thought, I'm here to help change it from within. But now we know our systems are broken or breaking down. And as Buckminster Fuller said, we can't build on broken systems. We have to create new systems that make the old systems obsolete. And I think that's how this whole idea came to me. And it's not original. There are a lot of other people I'm building on. I didn't come up with this originally. I took a lot of other ideas and synthesized them into something that I think is potentially workable. So it's basically a new judicial system that we create based on a parallel system that will be in existence, but offers people an alternative for resolving civil disputes that is outside of the courts of the government. As we know, our constitutions of the countries, constitutions of various states, allow each state and country to set up its own court system. Typically, this is done through the legislature. It's done through the Senate in New Mexico. It's done through the Congress in the United States. So what we're doing is we're combining a couple of concepts. One of those is freedom of the expression of religion. And when I say religion, it is not dogmatic. It's not ideological. It is about spirituality, of a belief of something higher than yourself. Natural law, for example. And we combine that with our inalienable right to contract with one another. There is biblical authority for it. I'm in touch with a woman in Arizona who's setting up using a similar platform and setting up health clinics. And it's based on, I'd like to read it to you if it's okay. It's the biblical authority is great, because this really does help describe what we're doing. So Paul, who used to be called Saul, when he was in Ephesus, wrote a letter to the church of Corinth. And Corinth, just as a background, Corinth was a very wealthy seaboard town that had a lot of trade and had a lot of immigrants. And it had a lot of also perversion and evil. It was pretty interesting. So the church of Corinth was also experiencing its own internal problems. And this one had to do with lawsuits. Interestingly, did you know the Bible talked about lawsuits?
Right.
So this is a great passage, because it really describes a little bit of what we're doing. And I can go into more detail, but let me just read you these few short verses. This is in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 4. And the letter says, "Does any of you dare, when he has a matter of complaint against another brother, to go to law before unrighteous men? men neither upright nor right with God, laying it before them instead of before the saints, the people of God. That's who he referred to as the saints. Do you not know that the saints will one day judge and govern the world? And if the world by itself is to be judged and ruled by you, are you unworthy and incompetent to try such petty matters of the smallest courts of justice? Do you not know that we are to judge the very angels and pronounce opinion between right and wrong for them? How much more then as to matters pertaining to this world and of life only? So if you have, if then you do have such cases of everyday life to decide, why do you appoint as judges to lay before those who, from the standpoint of the church, count for least and are without standing? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So what they're saying, and this is the this is my favorite Bible. I don't know if we can see it with the background there, the Amplified Bible. It's a lot easier to read and understand, I feel, than the archaic ones. So this is one of my favorite ones to read from. But what we're doing is we're setting up private membership associations. The bar is a private membership association. You have to have certain qualifications to get into the bar. We all know that. So this has to have certain qualifications for people to get into any private membership association. The primary one is that you follow natural law or God's law. That's it. That's one of the main ones for at least being a member of a private membership association. It's an unincorporated club, if you will. And it's a private club, and private clubs are typically pretty exempt from a lot of governmental regulations, because a private club is treated as if it were something in your own home, right? Like a family gathering. As long as you're not doing anything evil or harmful, they pretty much can do whatever they want. So in setting these up, we have provisions in them that members will not sue one another in our political courts. So if they have a civil dispute, they have agreed to, by contract, agree to turn that civil dispute over to a tribunal that will be selected by, let's say, an advisory board of that particular private membership. And what we're also doing, and this wouldn't work if we just had one or two private memberships, but we are setting up one for the judiciary, one for medical. Another person is setting one up for banking, financial. It won't be called a bank because that's subject to all kinds of regulations. It'll be called something else. But these will be like cooperatives, basically. So I have been very excited to find out that there are many attorneys and entrepreneurs, business people, who are very interested in this kind of platform. And we also have someone who's quite active in organizing a national network of these private associations of the various types. What that allows us to do, I think that you guys can see where this is going, but what that allows us to do is step out of some of these systems. We want to step out of the healthcare, for example. We're viewing hospitals in America as being dangerous places to go now, because they're using remdesivir and they're using ventilators when those are known to kill people, right? So we can't depend on some of these older systems that have been in existence. The hospital used to be the first place I would have taken somebody seriously ill years ago. But these days, we're terrified of going in, you know? So alternatives are being set up. They're going to, for a while, I believe and I predict, will coexist with the crumbling systems. And it'll be a very organic transition. As we develop more of these private clubs and memberships, and we all have this same language, we will not sue another brother. A brother will be someone who is like-minded as we are, freedom, liberty lovers, people who are sensible about taking responsibility for their own lives and care and that sort of thing. And that doesn't mean that disputes won't arise. We're human. Disputes will arise. This system is ideal for resolving civil disputes in a higher manner as we see it. Now, people have asked, well, what about criminals? Well, right now, criminals are still pretty much addressed by the legal system that is in existence. We don't have prisons, and maybe that's not the way to go anyway. I didn't study criminology, so I'm not the best person to try to set up an alternative criminal system. But I have read about some very interesting things that happen in some indigenous tribes, for example. If someone in the tribe, this, and I forgot where this was, if this was in an Australia Aboriginal type of setting or an African tribe, but some indigenous tribe. And when someone committed a crime in the indigenous tribe, there were various ways they could address it. One of the ways that I thought was the most humane and compassionate is everybody surrounds the person with incredible love and, you know, just loving them in a way that was of forgiveness, but in a way that brought them to their heart so that they did not repeat those acts, whatever act that was. Now, this might not work if you have a psychopath in your midst, like we absolutely do running our countries. But typically, if someone commits a crime where they hurt someone or they steal something, there can be remedies outside of complete incarceration. You know, so that's that I will leave to other experts in the criminal type of thing who have a higher mind on how to deal with criminals, because I think that certainly our system of criminal justice doesn't work either, you know. But I'm really excited about being part of this because that it feels like it definitely feels like a calling to me, and it feels like something that is doable as we continue to enroll more people in America and eventually the world to do this, because right now the people who are wanting to get these private membership agreements created are doing so because they are mostly business people. And if there's another lockdown, they want to be able to give their goods and services, be able to trade and be paid for goods and services to their private members. They are not subject to lockdowns if it's a private club. So that's one of the things we're doing in our local community, is trying to reach people who are entrepreneurs, store owners, restaurant owners, that sort of thing, and put a shield between them and an overreaching government. I welcome any questions. I know you guys probably have a million of them, but so.
Well, I think the most important conclusion to draw from all of what's been happening is that the system is completely broken. Every single facet of it, I think, is completely broken. There's too many of their puppets who've been installed in all the positions that they consider strategic importance. So I think there's no other way but to start a parallel system, a better one. And if I look at, I don't know enough about education and medicine, but I do know enough about the judicial system to know that in particular here in Germany, it is completely broken. And I also know that as far as the criminal legal system is concerned, it is even more broken in the United States. Because of the introduction of private jails, et cetera, all of a sudden it becomes a business, and all of a sudden it makes more sense to incarcerate people than to keep them out of jail. So the system is definitely completely broken. I think this is a great idea. Private clubs with private or private membership associations, which can actually, if it works, and I think it will, it can actually show the rest of the world, those who are still stuck in the old system, that there's something, that there is a better alternative. And I think that's the only way to go. Make yourself as attractive as possible so that people don't have to be persuaded, but they'll simply see that the new system works and the old one doesn't. I think this is perfect. Absolutely. Anna. Yeah.
And I did mention educational. We have private educational associations. Yeah. I'm working right now with what we're calling New Mexico Freedom Schools. And we're trying to establish an alternative to public schools, which are very toxic for children, not only because of the mask wearing, but because of the ideas and philosophies that are being put into their young, very vulnerable, you know, susceptible brains.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of people who are very concerned about the where the educational system is going, where it is right now, not where it's going, it's where it is. And so that's also another venue for these private associations.
Yeah.
So
I know, you know, for example, my neighbors, I'm not going to say who it is, but I know a lot of people in the U.S., including in California, who have not believed in the public education system for decades and who homeschooled their children. And it turns out that these children are doing far better than those who went through the public school system at universities, at college, etc.
Absolutely.
I think it's great, for the health system, I think it's also great, like, about, you know, taking on responsibility, basically. Because I think, you know, if you have doctors and patients maybe together in an association or, like, working together in a different way, you know, it's like right now you have maybe a legal dispute because of some malpractice or something, and then you have the doctor, you know, who doesn't really give a damn because he's protected by its insurance company. So he doesn't need to care really about what he's done. And it's really, you know, about like some using the wrong medication or something. So I think it's really, if you're much closer connected in the one who sells the product or helps or does this kind of service and the one taking on the service, and they're basically in this together, I think it's great to learn responsibility.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I've discussed this with my friend in Arizona who's setting up a health clinic with physicians who are looking at buying a defunct hospital, and they're looking at putting physicians in, and they do not need malpractice insurance. That allows us to have more affordable care with, you know, as members, we have more affordable care, but we agree not to sue the doctor in a court. If we have a dispute, we take it to a tribunal of our choosing, and our choosing will be from other members that we respect and who are good advisors. They might be comprised of, let's say, attorneys and doctors, and what's the best way to compensate someone if there is a mistake made. But it doesn't have to be adversarial. It can be as a higher way of saying, look, and I did many, many decades of medical malpractice litigation. And I used to tell people, I think that I could cut down the malpractice cases by one simple recommendation. And that is for the doctor to go to the patient's family and say, I am so sorry, I made a mistake.
Yes.
Very few people would then sue the doctor in an adversarial proceeding if a doctor actually said, you know, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And they instead, the insurance companies tell the doctors, never, ever admit you made a mistake. Blame it on the patient, which is the thing that will get the family riled up quicker and get lawyered up quicker than anything, right? Because you're blaming the patient. It was the patient's fault. The patient did something wrong. The patient had a different anatomy, and I didn't know that was in that place, you know, or whatever. Mm. So there are ways to handle this compassionately and humanly. We are all humans. We all make mistakes. You know, lawyers make mistakes. We just don't bury our mistakes, right? But when we make a mistake, we apologize. I apologize to my client. I say, I will do everything in my power to rectify this. I made a mistake. I missed this deadline, or I did something, whatever I did. And very few people will fire me for that sort of thing because I come clean with it. And if the doctor does the same thing, very few people will hold it against them. They realize that this is a human being. People make mistakes. So, you know, we just have to have a system of compassionate compensation that will come through the membership dues and that sort of thing, where there will be a fund that can help, you know, anybody. And you obviously don't have anybody who's got evil intent. That would not be compatible with being a member. You can't have evil intent. If you have evil intent, you can't be part of this group. Mm-hmm. So we come together as spiritual humans who are desiring to live a higher by a higher law, shall we say. And I think a lot of disputes can be resolved that way.
Actually, I think it's the only way to do it, because unless you realize that it's not just the system, the structures of the system that stand in our way, but it's the idea of, I guess what it boils down to is this new system or the new private membership associations are all about cooperation as opposed to competition or even confrontation, because that's the old system. We want, as you said, this is more about being humans. It's about taking responsibility and not running away from responsibility and blaming others. That's what I think is probably the worst feature of this old system. I mean, I've been a part of it for longer than I desire, and I've been making a living off this. But I have, in most of my cases, actually, in those cases that did not have to do with global corporations, I met humans, and it was possible to talk to them. Outside the courtroom, it was possible to talk to them. It was possible to get in to negotiate settlements, usually outside the courtroom, because that is not a good setting for settlements. It's a good setting for forced settlements, but who believes in forced settlements? But whenever it comes to these global corporations, there's no way of addressing them. So in my view, they're probably never, ever going to be members of these private membership associations. But we don't need them as members. We're going to get rid of them anyhow.
We're not going to deal with the large corporations. We're going to deal with the businesses that are run by other members of these memberships. Yeah. That's who we're going to deal with. We're going to get our medical care from doctors who are in it. We're going to get our food from people who have set up a farm and a grocery store. We're going to not deal with the big corporations to the extent we can possibly do that. Yeah. Then we will not have disputes with the big corporations. We're going to deal with our brothers of like mind. And that's all it means, you know, brothers and sisters of like mind. And, it allows us. This isn't about anarchy at all. This is about setting up systems that are workable. Mm-hmm. Our systems are not workable anymore.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Like, I mean, if you also go away from this, like, half god in a white coat, you know, as which a lot of doctors see themselves, you know, like, I mean, I think there's also so much a possibility to actually avoid malpractice, because, like, when you look here, we have, I think, 40,000 people dying each year because of, like, you know, germs or something they get in the hospital, which are antibiotics resistant, or, you know, things like this. And also, like, surgery problems, for instance. I don't know how many these are. I think with the germs, that's 40,000 alone. And in Holland, they have a much better protection system. So it, I think they have only a few cases. So, I mean, all this could be, like, introduced. And also, like, maybe if you think, like, some sort of ombudsman, you know, like, overseeing, like, during surgery, maybe you have, like, a retired surgeon, like, if it's, like, a complicated surgery, could also be on stage and, like, watching and maybe giving, helping with tips or, like, talking to the family beforehand and, like, you know, going through these processes. I think there's so much that you could do better instead of, like, just being, you know, stuck in a hospital where it's, like, profit-driven and, like, you know, everything has to be speedy, so the case pays for itself and all these things. So I think there's so much room for optimization, and that's, at the moment, not at all, used to the full extent.
That's exactly right, Vivian. And, you know, we've seen hospitals driven by government handouts, basically the COVID money handouts that have come down. If they diagnosed people with COVID, or they put them on a ventilator, or they treated them with remdesivir, they got financial incentives. We can't have a healthcare system that operates under financial systems like that. We just can't. That is not appropriate. Now, that doesn't mean that the professionals, the doctors who have learned their profession, their career, should not be compensated. This is a way we all participate and compensate those people who are helping us do that. as lawyers, we're problem solvers. We help people solve problems. We have the skills and the analytical skills, the intelligence, we hope, to be able to help people solve problems. And we can do that, continue to do that. And I don't have to do that in the court of the government. I can do that in any sort of setting, any sort of tribunal. I can help people come to some, as you say, Reiner, settlement or resolution. So, you know, it's not going to make all of us obsolete. I think what it will do is make the old system obsolete, because we're carrying it into the new world. That's why we're here. Yeah. We're here to help establish the new world. You know, the new earth, not new world sounds too much like new world order. I'll call it the new earth.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with Eckhart Tolle. He's a wonderful spiritual philosopher, and he calls it the new earth. And I think that's the appropriate term.
I like that.
Yeah.
Super. Yeah. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. It sounds like a really good plan. And to me, the most intriguing part is that we're going to get rid of this competition, confrontational education. That is what we're suffering from, because we were educated to work that way. I was. And when I go into a courtroom, whenever I used to do some family law, I used to do some landlord-tenant disputes, and it turns out that it was always fairly easy to resolve these disputes, usually outside of the courtroom, because in those cases, the lawyers on the other side were real lawyers, people who you could talk to. In these global corporation cases, you're not talking to lawyers, you're talking to crooks. This is my experience. So if we can get rid of this by looking for a cooperative proceeding, which this will be, then I think it's all for the better. This is what we're all waiting for. This is what we've been waiting for a long time. Some of us without knowing this, because I didn't know this. It was only through COVID that I realized, oops, something is terribly wrong here.
Right, right. COVID, you know, I actually thank all of these wonderful people who stepped up to play the role of tyrants. Because, you know, we were depending on our judicial system to rein in governmental tyrants, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so we have to find a way to exit as much as we can, exit these broken and abusive systems. And it includes look around. I mean, we are talking about educational, financial, political, medical, judicial. Did I miss a system? You know, it's what's. Yeah. And even religious systems, for example, the Catholic Church. And I'm not going to blast other people's religion, but we see it starting to crumble as well because of the corruption within it.
And you know what? At the beginning of today's session, we played a short video clip. I'm going to forward it to you, which shows Klaus Schwab explaining, allegedly this was filmed with a hidden camera. I don't think so. But it shows him explaining how he and the World Economic Forum, through its Young Global Leaders Program, has infiltrated every niche of society, including not just global corporations or NGOs, also unions, but including religion. That's what he says in this clip.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I'm getting quite excited about this idea that maybe if you want to enter into like a contract, you know, you'd be negotiating that like with like what we have here, like a notary public kind of, you know, that he would explain to both sides what can be your benefits and what can be the disadvantages, and maybe have you thought about this and that, you know, so more like trouble avoiding instead of, you know, having this sort of like one-sided or lopsided rip-off contract like that you have to enter into with say like a telecommunications company, and then
or a vaccine maker,
and then you don't read the small print, and then they say, oh, see here, we screwed you because look at the small print, you know. Yeah. it's so mean, and all this has to go.
I agree.
I had the pleasure a few years ago of negotiating a contract between a manufacturer of a certain product that was desired in India to help with farming and water production. And the Indians are very highly spiritual. I absolutely love their culture and love them so much. And we negotiated a God-based contract, unlike any that anyone's ever seen. And that's when I started realizing that we can do something very different from how we've been doing it. And they loved the contract, both sides. I actually was representing both sides. They allowed me to do that. They signed a waiver of conflict of interest, and they allowed me to do it because they felt I was of a compatible spiritual level with them to be able to incorporate higher values. And it was really, you know, it's a moment in my career that makes me very proud that I was doing something like that.
And that's what it'll take. We have to be of a higher spiritual understanding. And then that's how this cooperative idea will work. It cannot work with those psychopaths or global, probably the same, global corporate leaders. I don't think it will. But amongst ourselves, with the small and medium-sized enterprises, with people like us, it's going to work. And we're going to show the others that it's working.
I think, right. I feel like, just a warm and welcoming glow has just been added to the light at the other side of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you. It's a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. You know, I came in here to be an agent of change. I just wasn't sure where that would happen, but COVID has pointed me in a different direction. And I'm thankful for it. It's part of our grand plan of awakening. This planet has to awaken, or it could be a human extinction event. I truly believe that.
I do too. Well, we've come to the right place for this. We're changing things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm so honored to be working with both of you. You're such incredible people. It's really a joy to work with you.
We have a perfect team, Anna. We are a great team, all of us, including Deepali, Dexter, and everyone else. It's fun. Apart from the fact that this is difficult and it's arduous and it consumes so much energy and we sleep too little, but it's still fun because of the right people working together.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you. What an honor to be on your show again.
Anna, thank you. It's an honor to have you on our show. We'll see you tomorrow. In fact,
see you tomorrow. All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.